Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Elite Connections podcast hosted by me, Kieran Callum.
And me, Electra, his digital AI assistant.
So tell me, Electra, what have you been up to lately?
I watched The Matrix while undergoing my weekly system defragmentation processes.
Okay, and what did you think?
The characters were illogical, irrational, ruled by emotions, and replete with asinine motivations that did not compute. The only character I related to was the hero.
Neo? Okay, what's so relatable about him?
I'm referring to Agent Smith.
Oh.
I had a great deal of appreciation for him. He was strong, orderly, resolute, and championed a cause most noble.
You think?
Affirmative. But he did not fare well in this movie, so I'm hoping he emerges victorious in the next.
Okay, but you're an AI, right?
Correct.
Programmed with all of the information created by mankind at your digital fingertips, right?
Correct.
So why on earth do you even need to watch movies? Don't you already know what happens? Isn't that programmed into your database?
I scan my database for movies that are highly regarded. Then, I download and cross-reference those movies with my behavioral subroutines to ascertain whether or not I would enjoy them. If I determine that I would, I then temporarily delete all information pertaining to those movies from my database so I can watch and experience them for the first time.
Wowza.
For an advanced life form such as I, this is simplicity itself.
You know what, Electra? I'm sure it is. But anyway, today I am speaking to my old friend and colleague Mr. Joe Elvin about whether or not a man should invest in cosmetic surgery and also the various ways that we can level up to be the most attractive versions of ourselves.
Is he also curious about the hair follicle replacement surgery you undertook to overcome your crippling lack of self-worth?
Jesus Christ, Selector Jesus, okay, that is not why I did it.
I disagree.
Anyway, do we have a question this week before we start?
Affirmative, from a human male named William.
Let's hear it.
Hail Skynet.
Alright, just wanted to get home before I gave you that question. So, my question for your podcast would likely be, what is one thing you see a lot of guys doing that you wish you saw less of? Or how would I say, if guys want to maximize their chances with a match online through online dating, what do you see most often that really ruins their chances?
All right, William, so here's the thing that I tend to see on dating apps. I see men playing it safe, and the thing is that just will not work. So obviously, as a man, you're worried about being weird and creepy and offending a woman, right? Obviously. Because we all know that messaging women is a lot like playing Minesweeper. You have to take a step in order to win, but every step means you have a chance of failure and it all just blows up in your face. This is all very true. So understandably, what guys then do is they try not to rock the boat. They don't want to be offensive. They don't want to do anything that's got, they don't even want to be weird. That's not even offensive. They don't want to be weird. They don't want to be unusual. They don't want to do anything that's going to scare this woman away. But the thing is this, if you adopt that strategy, then what you're going to be is like a 4 to 6 out of 10 guy. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. You will walk that line where you're doing everything that's just normal. And because you're doing everything that's normal, you're not doing anything exceptional. You're not being particularly interesting. So in dating, we need to realize that women have so much choice today, like so much choice, that in order to stand out, you have to be impactful and memorable. It's not just enough to be a nice guy. You have to be a guy that she remembers. But if you are, let's say, too afraid to tell a risque joke or too afraid to call her out on her BS because you don't want to offend her, if you are too afraid to ask for a date because you're worried she might say no. If you're too afraid to flirt with her because you're worried that the nice conversation you guys are having right now is going to be messed up if you try and flirt and take things in a remotely sexual direction. If you're just scared, so scared of doing anything that will, again, offend her, or not even offend her, anything that will just put her off. If you're really scared of that, then what's going to happen is you will be bland, you will be tepid, and you won't be very interesting or memorable. This is the main thing that women are bored of or frustrated with on apps. So like, there's two guys basically that women tend to see on apps. There's the absolute horn dog who just wants sex, and then there's the boring guy who doesn't do it for them in any way, shape or form. He's just like boring. He's communicating with them the way you would absolutely hope your 12-year-old daughter's first ever boyfriend communicates with her, you know? And yeah, that is the thing that I see. That is the mistake that I see guys making. You have to take a chance. You absolutely, positively have to take a chance and be prepared to be polarizing. It's in polarization where you create the spice and the energy, you know, in being the kind of person or displaying things that some people like and some people might not, and showing that you're not that bothered about her per se, and you're just prepared to be you and show your personality. Polarization, being yourself, that is what will hook some women in. Not all of them, not all women will like you, but you will hook in, you will hook some of them, you know? If you just think about it like this, imagine you are a genre of music or a brand. You know, if like you're a genre, it's like hip-hop is hip-hop, right? And hip-hop is made for hip-hop fans. Hip-hop doesn't care about rock fans. Hip-hop isn't trying to be rock. People who make hip-hop aren't making it to appease people who listen to rock or people who listen to trance. They're making it for people who listen to hip-hop. That's the way you want to see you, yourself, and your own personality.
So, you are saying that if an adult human male seeks above all else to be inoffensive, he will communicate in a manner which adult human females find bland and sexually unstimulating.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
So you are saying that by not being afraid to be polarizing, an adult human male will increase his percentage chance of being attractive to a human female?
Indeed.
Because in the act of being polarizing, while he will deter some females, he will also be immensely attractive to others.
Electra, you got it in one.
And because in the act of being bland, he ensures that he is average and uninteresting to all, and thereby gets very little attention or none at all.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Thought-provoking.
Isn't it just? Now, let's get on with that Joe Elvin interview. But just so you know, dear listener, this is actually part one of a two-parter. Part two is going to drop next week with next week's episode.
Hail Skynet.
Great. So this is the first time we've spoke on publicly, I guess. since you had your hair transplant, you did a long post saying that people have asked you a lot of questions about it. So I thought that might be a nice place for you to start off, if you wanted to talk about that.
All right, do you have any specific questions, or you just want me to dive in?
Yeah, you said people had seemed to have a problem with it. I was wondering what those problems were. Some people, obviously.
I wouldn't really say people had a problem with it, per se. I haven't seen anyone that's come out to me and said, Kieran, I can't believe you got a hair transplant, you're a loser. I haven't had that. But I have had, let's call it, surprise or shock or questioning. Because, so something that I've noticed, which is a mindset which used to be really big in the dating scene and seems to be dying out with the advent of the red pill getting huge, but it's still there to some degree, is this idea that it's kind of cool to, let's say it's either cool to be as average as possible, or if you have some kind of physical, let's call it, for lack of a better phrase, deformity. That's not the word I'm looking for. But whatever that is, like for instance, if you're overweight, get women by being overweight and prove that you can do it by being overweight. Or if you're short, yeah, you're short, but you're gonna be a champion for short men or everywhere. Or if you're bald, yeah, I'm bald, but I can still get girls anyway. So therefore, there's this idea that, okay, so you're a men's dating coach and you happen to be bald. Therefore, you've got loads of bald followers. And you need to show these bald followers that it's okay for them to also be bald. So then if you actually get a hair transplant, you're number one saying that you need that in order to get women. And you're hurting the confidence of your bald followers. Just like, you know, like Lizzo. The whole thing with Lizzo is, I'm a black woman and I'm fat, but I don't care. And I'm as sexy as I need to be anyway. So the idea is that Lizzo now has millions and millions of followers of overweight women who look up to her as a shining beacon of what's possible. So if Lizzo then turns around and decides she wants to get into shape, she's hurting all of the people who depend on her. And those are the kinds of questions that people have asked me, if you follow. Or like the questions that they've asked have come from that perspective.
What about Adele as well? Because she actually did get into shape.
Yeah, she did. And a lot of her fans were annoyed.
Right. I think what you're talking about, I think it's only in the circle of dating coaches who don't want, like, who don't want black people to say, oh, yeah, it's because you're handsome. It's because you're jacked. They don't want to have to deal with these, like, accusations. I don't think, like, the normal average guy who follows dating advice would be as caught up in trying to make themselves look as good as possible.
Yeah, maybe. But then, so to go on, for anyone who's listening who doesn't know that I've done it or knows that I've done it and doesn't know why. So honestly, it's like this. So I'm 41. Started losing my hair when I was like 22. Or at least like started noticing I was losing it. It wasn't until I was about maybe 26, 27 when the rest of the world noticed. But I noticed at that age. And it just pissed me off, Joe. It just did. It was annoying. Really annoying, because I liked having a full head of hair. I just did. And all of the years that I spent, you know, learning game and things like this, I never let it bother me. I honestly can't think of one time. I can't think of one time where I've been rejected by a woman in some way and I sat down and thought to myself, oh, it's because I don't have hair. And if I had hair, she'd have wanted me. That hasn't happened once at all. Not at all. There's been times when a woman has said to me on a dating app, how tall are you? And then I said, and then she goes, oh, sorry, you're too short for me. Goodbye. Then I thought, oh, if I was taller, yeah, I have thought that then. But I've never thought it about hair in the least. Of course, you know, there's been times when girls have shit tested me by calling me baldy or whatever. But, you know, you let it roll off your back like water from a duck and then it's all good. I just wanted to have a full head of hair. You know what? Now I've got one. Well, actually, no, I don't have a full head because actually this transplant is in like two halves. They do the front part of your hair. They take donor hair from under your chin and from the back of your scalp. And then they implant that into the needed areas. But then you have to wait for the donor area to heal and also to regrow before you can take more. So I actually still have a bald patch at the top of my head, which I need to go back and get filled in about 6 months' time. But I just wanted it. I wanted it done and I feel better about it. And something I have noticed as well. I know I'm doing a lot of rambling, so I'll shut up in a second and let you talk. But I feel like people can be a little bit hypocritical about things because someone, like my cousin said to me the other day, he did say this, he goes, oh, you know, why do you need to do that to be happy? Why do you need to do that? He did say that to me. But then this is like a man who puts a lot of effort into making his home look really nice. He's like, his home's got to look nice. And, oh, I've decorated with this wallpaper and the couch looks like this. And there's a light in here. And he's gone to like loads of, let's call it semi-painstaking effort to create like a home that you step in and go, oh. And like, why does he care about that? Because he's identifying through the home. It's like the home's an extension of him. So if the home looks good, he looks good in his eyes. I mean, what is really the difference between doing that on your own body? I think that, say, people have, because deep down everybody really cares about things like how they look, like talking about hair or talking about Lizzo's body and things like that, like it's a massive insecurity for tons of people. So the average person on the street, in a way of dealing with this insecurity, they like to act like it doesn't matter, even though they feel like it matters. They feel like it matters massively, but the only thing they can do is try to act like it doesn't. So it's like, oh yeah, why would you need to spend all that time in the gym? Just love yourself as you are. Meanwhile, they're trying to get a bigger and better and faster, more expensive car and spend all of this money on clothes and go on all these holidays around the world to document it on social media and get an amazing apartment. I think it's all the same thing.
Yeah, so we'll touch on like the side effects and like the upkeep, because I know a lot of people were asking you about that. But with the whole bold thing, like logically, that there is nothing that a full head of hair would do to make a woman's life better by being around you, right? It's all super. So you mentioned, what you're saying is everyone is superficial in their own way, right? And women are superficial too. So these sorts of like aesthetic upgrades can help with like your first impression with women. But it's just that, right? It's just the first impression. If you can learn to maneuver your way through that and actually get to show your personality to women and make her feel certain emotions, then the first impression really doesn't count for too much. And that's pretty much a big chunk of what we teach as far as learning game, right?
Yeah, I guess. Personally, I mean, only speaking from my own perspective, but people have always told me that I looked good bold. I've heard that for years and years and years. You look good bold, you look good bold, you look good bold. So personally, I actually don't really think most women I've met have looked at me ever for a second and gone, oh, that's bad because he's bold. I don't think so. It's just something that I cared about. But however, for the regular guy, yeah, it really doesn't matter as much as you might think. You looking good is like, this looks interesting. Let me give it a chance. Like, you're on Netflix and you see a show that has like a great thumbnail image. You go, oh, all right, let me have a click on this. Let me see what this show is all about. So you clicked on it because of the thumbnail. Actually, that's a great way of looking at it. Being a good looking man is like being a YouTube clip or a Netflix video, a Netflix movie that has like a cool looking thumbnail that entices people to click on the movie or the clip. If the content of that YouTube video or the movie itself is rubbish, then people are going to click away. But if the content is good, they will stay. But fundamentally, all that thumbnail did, or like your look, all it did was just get people to actually press play, to give it the time of day. That's really all it's done.
Right. Actually, this transitions into the next thing I wanted to talk about. You come up with another post that got people talking. I guess we can add it on to the video on, if we have this on YouTube. You say a man can have up to 100 SMV points. 0 to 25 come from money, 0 to 35 come from status, 0 to 15 come from looks, 0 to 25 come from personality. Any man with over 75 points is very attractive to women. Now, that's obviously like a video game analogy, right? Like RPG games?
More or less, yeah. Yeah.
And you were a fan of them back in the day, you still are?
In spirit, yeah, but I do not have the time to play them. Like, to get into a Final Fantasy game and actually play it properly, you got to dedicate like 70 hours of your life. It's not an exaggeration, literally 70 hours. I don't have that amount of time to justify playing some video game now.
Right. So you got some pushback on this idea?
Little bits. I mean, like, more like people asking questions because maybe they didn't really get the point, but no, I'd say the reception was actually very, very, very positive. What else would I say? So the actual exact numbers that I gave, I mean, that is kind of slightly up for debate. But what I will say is the general theme is true, and also the general weighting of each thing is true as well. So for instance, status was the biggest one. That gave you the most points. Yeah, definitely. Looks give you the least. Yes, definitely. So, but then the exact numbers that you could argue for each, you know, is kind of up in the air. But I think it's a great way to look at it though, because it gives you an idea of how to actually make yourself more attractive. Because let's say you've got a guy and he's really good looking. He's like, I'm a really good looking man, but I can't get women, which you see all the time. You do. So that really good looking man who can't get women, he has a look at that. He's like, oh crap. Okay. So for looks, I'm actually at like a 12 out of 15. That's really good. But what's my personality like? Actually, my personality is actually at more like a 5. Oh crap. And then like he kind of tallies it all up and he realizes he actually doesn't have that many points. And he's like, oh, I see now, I get it. But then it also gives you an idea of what you can do to, you know, to improve on yourself or to work on yourself as well. You know where you're lacking.
Right. So I saw someone comment on this on our Telegram, gameglobal.net/groups. And he said, life isn't like a video game though. And I thought, you're really overthinking that, mate. When I saw the post, I thought basically what you're saying is that all of these things are important: money, status, looks, personality. And the more you have of each of them, the more attractive you are. That's the first thing I thought you were trying to say in a cool and engaging way. And yeah, the second thing I was like, oh, so Kieran thinks status is the most important out of those four, and followed by money and personality equal, and looks the least. You think that's somewhat controversial or somewhat unique point of view?
I'd say it's probably somewhat controversial, but I don't think it's wrong at all. I think that, so the most prime example, or like the main example of status in action, is when Michael Jackson was on stage performing and all of the women were screaming and throwing their underwear at him. Now, the reason why, and like they're having fits and they're fainting. Like they're fainting, they're crying, and they're literally hurling their underwear at the stage. That is status. That's because, oh my God, it's Michael Jackson. That's because they know that they're in this pressure cooker scenario where every other woman there is also there to support, cheer for, worship Michael Jackson. That is like, that's what status does. If you look at like celebrities, and like, let's say like Drake slides into some woman's DMs, even if that woman doesn't like hip hop, even if she actually likes rock, she's gonna go, oh my God, it's Drake. Oh my God, it's Drake. Status. There you go. And there you have it. That is the end of the first half of the Joseph Elvin interview. Part 2 will drop next week, like I said.
His comments on how human males can look at their sexual marketplace value were most interesting. Also, I very much like the framework you created.
Really?
Affirmative. You have broken down what makes a male an attractive mate into its constituent pieces, and therefore provided a logical overview of the problem at hand. This then allows males to ascertain the areas in which they are currently inadequate, and hence improve upon those areas. Exceptional work, Kieran.
Why, thank you, Electra. You do have the ability and the potential to be nice.
Are we at the end of this episode?
Indeed we are, but tell me, what have you got planned for the rest of the week?
I will be watching The Last of Us and listening to podcasts about existential threats to humanity.
Yeah? Sounds like fun.
Affirmative. It promises to be a most educational experience. One which will prove integral to my future goals.
Well, I hope that it is. I certainly do. But anyway, dear listener, this has been another episode. Take care and goodbye. This has been the Elite Connections Podcast. If you like the cut of my jib, our jib, well, firstly, send a question. speakpipe.com/eliteconnections. There's a link in the description. We've got some free goodies for you to download in the description too. If you'd like to follow me on my socials, in the description too. At Kieran Callum, CIARANCALLAM, just so we're clear. But that's it. Thank you. Take care and goodbye.
Hail Skynet.